Have you ever heard the story of how humanity came to build cities or fashion metal out of stone, or how we came to play music? It's all the same story, actually. It's an old story from long ago, from before the flood, before the sons of God sired giants in the land, in the days when the Lord still took walks in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. In those days, there was only the man, Adam, which means earth, because he was taken from the earth. And with him there was his wife, Eve, which means life, because she was the mother of all who live. Adam and Eve no longer lived in the Garden of Eden, but that is a different story, a story too long and sad to tell today. They lived outside of the garden now, tilling the ground and growing crops and eating what they could from what grew out of the ground, just as the Lord had commanded them to do when they were exiled from the garden. Their life was toil and sweat and dust. It was hard. But they did not face life alone. They had one another, and soon they were blessed with a child. It was a boy, the firstborn of all humanity, the first human being that was not fashioned by the very hand of the Lord, but was begotten, born of the will of humanity to survive in the world. And Eve, so proud of what it meant to bear life, named this child Cain, which means, I have made a man. Cain was the pride of his mother and an honor to his father, because Cain took up the same work as his father, tilling the ground and growing crops for them to eat, just as the Lord had commanded them to do when they were exiled from the garden. But of course, Cain had never lived in the Garden of Eden. He only ever knew the world as it was never meant to have been. Then Eve bore another son, Abel, which means oblivion. Abel did not follow his father or his brother's work. Abel did not till the ground as the Lord had commanded. Instead, he kept a flock of sheep instead. As a keeper of sheep, Abel guarded the flock from the animals like wolves and lions. Abel's mother and father claimed that those flesh-ravenous and bloodthirsty predators used to eat straw in the garden. But of course, Abel had never lived in the Garden of Eden. He only ever knew the world as it was never meant to have been. And yet, even so, even though the only lives they had ever known were ones of toil and sweat and dust and danger, even so, it was Cain and his brother Abel who were the first human beings to bring an offering to the Lord. They were the first to take of what they had and bring a portion before the Lord. The Lord had never asked for any sacrifices, and indeed the Lord did not need them. But it seems that Cain and Abel wanted to bring an offering. Cain brought an offering of crops, smelling of moist earth and dark root and sunshine. Abel, for his part, brought the fat of a lamb, smelling of blood and untimely death. The Lord considered the offering that Abel had brought, and the Lord looked with favor upon Abel and his offering, and Abel's smile must have been like the sunrise. But then the Lord considered the offering that Cain had brought. And for Cain and Cain's offering, the Lord had no regard. The Lord had no regard for the offering of crops that Cain had brought, the crops that Cain had broken his back tilling the ground to plant, the crops that for months Cain had sweated and toiled over, the crops that the Lord had commanded them to grow when they were exiled from the garden. The Lord had no regard for Cain or his offering. Cain was angry, and his face fell, and he turned away from the Lord. And then the Lord asked a fool's question, a fool's question. Why are you angry, Cain? But Cain did not answer. Cain didn't answer. Cain didn't speak to the Lord at all. Instead, Cain spoke to his brother, Abel. Brother Abel, let us go out into the field. So Cain and his brother Abel went out into the field amidst the crops that Cain had grown, for which the Lord had no regard. And there, among the crops, full and ripe and tall and ready to be cut, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him then and there, his blood soaking the ground. Then the Lord asked another fool's question. Cain, where is your brother Abel? But Cain would not confess the truth of what he had done to the Lord. Instead, he spat back a retort, standing even over his brother's body. I do not know where that keeper of sheep has gone. Am I my brother's keeper? Then the Lord asked what was no fool's question. What have you done? What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground. When you till the ground, it will never again yield crops to you. It has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. It will never yield to you any crops again. You are cursed from the ground. It was only then, when the full weight and enormous consequences of what he had done came crashing down upon him, it was only then that Cain spoke a true word. It was only then that Cain spoke the truth, and he did speak truly now. My punishment is more than I can bear. Growing crops is all that I know. How will I live? And with no place of my own, I will be a wanderer. I will be a trespasser wherever I go. Anyone who comes across me might kill me. They might kill me. My punishment is more than I can bear. And so the Lord had mercy on Cain. And said, "Not so. No one will kill you, Cain. No one. Neither human nor animal. And to see to it, the Lord put a mark on Cain. It was a mark more terrifying to look upon than a black widow spider's hourglass. It was a mark more terrifying than a cobra's outspread hood as it readies to strike at your heel. It was a mark to turn your heart to water in your chest, because what it portended was the wrath of the Lord. No one would ever kill Cain. No one would ever try. No one would ever dare. The mark, the terrible mark that the Lord had put upon him, would see to that. But neither could Cain ever forget what he had done. The indelible
Mark would see to that.
He could live in peace. He could live out the rest of his days. But he could never grow crops again. He could never grow crops again. He was cursed from the ground. Growing crops was all that Cain had known. It was the only way that he knew how to live. And so Cain would have to find a new way to live. He would have to learn another way. And Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Humankind grew and expanded, Cain and his descendants along with it. Cain and his descendant Habal, they were the first to create tents, to fashion leather tents, and to use them to herd livestock across vast distances in the wilderness. Cain and his descendant Enoch, they were the first to build cities and to smelt metal out of stone there. Cain and his descendants Jubal, they were the first to create flutes and lyres and music itself. They would do many things, but they would never grow crops. What had been done in that field on that bloody day could never be undone, and what had been done by brother to brother could never be forgotten. Cain was forever changed, forever marked by what he had done. He had to live in a new way, or else perish. Have you ever heard the story of how humanity came to build cities? Or how we learned to fashion metal out of stone? Or how we came to play music? They're all the same story. It all started long ago when someone who tilled the soil and grew crops committed a terrible sin. And the Lord showed them mercy and drove them away from that life forever. And they had to find a new way to live, ways they never would have considered had old ways of living not proven to lead surely onto death and misery. It is a story about the shape and the form of the mercy of God. It is a cross-shaped mercy. A cross-shaped mercy that needs an old way of living to pass away so that something new might take its place.